position of the government and the position of the people of Rwanda is that this is 20 years since the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi. Certainly, 20 years is not very, very long time, but for us, it's again not a very short time. It's been a long journey that we have walked together with everybody, together with the international community. It's been a long journey that we have traveled from 1994 to now. It's very important in that we want to take stock of what has happened to us. We want to remember. We want to renew. We want to commit ourselves to our unity and look at what is coming ahead. What is the legacy of the genocide and all the things that happened after the genocide, like justice, like unity and reconciliation, like caring for survivors of the genocide, like giving the victims a decent burial. Like, there is a whole stock taking by the country on what the 20 years actually means to the nation, to individuals, to our international friends, to everybody in the world, and also to take stock on what is happening to the world 20 years down the road. Is genocide still never again? Is it still a crime against humanity? Is the world behaving as if genocide will never happen again? Are people being brought to account who got involved in the perpetration of the genocide? So we are taking stock of the 20 years and looking at the future with a lot of hope.
Now, Mr. Johnston, you made mention of unity, during your answering of taking stock. And one significant thing I heard you say, it's the genocide against the Tutsis. Now, we were made to believe that the genocide occurred in Rwanda, but moderate Hutus were killed, although a majority of Tutsis were killed in that genocide. Some people are expressing concern that this does not breed unity that the government has been working so hard to achieve after these 20 long years. What do you say to that?
No, Peter, it does. We are aware, this government is aware, as everybody, as every Rwandan is, that these are two distinct things. First of all, the definition of a genocide is the intention to wipe out a particular section of the community for some reason. In our case, it was an ethnic reason. Certainly, we know that there are many people who stood up to this madness, to this brutality, to this ethnic cleansing, and actually wanted to either use their own small means to stop it, or just simply to stand up against it, and they died for it. So we do remember, we do recognize, we do accept that. The genocide happened certainly against the Tutsi, but there are people of all walks of life who died standing up against the genocide. If you know very well what we do in Rwanda during our commemoration week, the 7th is genocide commemoration, and the 14th at the end of the week, every year we've done that. On the 14th is politicians, especially, and other people who stood up against the genocide ideology and also the action itself of the genocide. So it's for us, it's simply giving everything its proper place. Genocide is, by definition, the intention to wipe out a particular section for a particular reason. And those who fought it, those who stood up against it, we really, really commemorate with them every Remembrance Week, if you know very well.
What lessons has Rwanda and its people learned 20 years after this very sad episode in the country's history?
What we have learned is probably what we learned immediately. In fact, even before the genocide, of course, we did not know it was the magnitude was going to be that. But we have learned that divisive politics, we have learned that an ideology that is capable of nothing else but hatred of one community against another community, or one people against another. That kind of politics, that kind of practice, that kind of ideology ends up causing you mass atrocity. And the mass atrocity that we saw in 1994 was a result of a thought and action process that preceded it many, many years, and then it culminated in 1994 genocide. So we have learned the lessons of what do we do when we are in political office, what do we say when we have the opportunity to say something to the public, what are our actions in regard to members of the public, and how do we reconcile once, that is another lesson of reconciliation, because once this happened, we now wanted to build a nation that would pick up where it was, pick up the pieces and walk forward. So we have also learned that you can do your best to reconcile your people and, start moving forward, and also that you can pick up from a shattered and written off state to completely unviable. You can pick up from there with determination, with modest effort to continue moving, and then you can get to where we are. We are certainly not where we want to be, but we have made some progress, and we now have something that we can proudly call a nation.
Talking about reconciliation, can you say, from your government perspective, that Rwanda, with the process of reconciliation, has achieved its objective?
I think we have made very, very good progress, Peter. Where we were in 1994, if you know the context of the genocide that happened here, it wasn't foreigners or strangers killing other strangers. It was neighbors, it was families, it was parents and children, it was husbands and wives. And you can't imagine the rupture that really comes out of that kind of situation. Our economy was totally shattered. Our infrastructure was totally shattered. Our social services were completely finished. Our education system was finished. Our health system was finished. And all these needed to be worked on. But let me talk about reconciliation. Coming from that point in 1994 to where we are today, plus all the activities that have gone on, the justice process through the Gacaca system, especially through the international justice efforts that have happened in Arusha and elsewhere in the world, all these have culminated, have really brought a sense that in Rwanda we do not have to go into divisive politics and the divisive world and the divisive nation. We can build policies, we can wrap around policies that foster unity, working together, building a nation, having diverse views, but also knowing the limit of what we do, being sure that we don't rupture our society again. So I can assure you that we probably are not 100%, but we have made very, very good progress. We exist side by side. We are working together in all facets of national, political, social, economic life. And Rwandans feel one nation again. We may not be at 100%, but we have made very, very good progress.
Some people have expressed concern that there is no enough political space in the country for other opponents to operate. Do you think their criticisms are unjustified?
I don't know. That probably depends on who is measuring the size of the space and for what reasons. I know that there are probably 7 or 8 political parties operating in this country. Some of them form part of the government. Some of them are in the other parts, in the other things that make up our body politic. I do not know those who lack space or to do and they lack space to do what? Because given that if that were true, then what we have achieved economically, socially, politically, and through all these other institutions that make up our nation, then probably would be seeing problems over there. Now, I don't know how you can, on the one hand, achieve what we have achieved in 20 short years. And then at the same time, you are saying there is a problem on political space, and people are not allowed to exercise and do what they want to do politically. I don't believe in that. I'm not so sure that those who say they lack political space, I would want them probably to go further and say political space to do what. It might depend really on what they want that space to do. Otherwise, all the political parties which are in this country are operating normally like any other political party would operate.